So, Amy, I am dying to hear about your retreat last weekend.
Oh my gosh, and I'm dying to tell you about it.
Oh, good. Okay, so first of all, let's get everyone caught up. So first of all, tell our friends who are listening what you had planned to do at this retreat, and then tell them what God led you to do instead, and then we're all just dying to hear how it went.
Well, it was amazing because I was asked to do my King of Hearts retreat, which is my oldest message. It was actually the very first message I ever gave over 20 years ago.
Wow.
Now, it has been rewritten almost top to bottom since then, but it's kept it somewhat its original form. But God has been nudging me for over a year to rewrite those messages. And when they asked me to do it, I said, yes, but it'll probably be in a different form than what I described. Is that okay? And they okayed it. But last week was nutso. It was just nutso. And we'll talk some more about that later in the episode, what your observation was about my week. But I begged God, can I please just do the old ones? Like, I do not have time to rewrite these. And I felt like he gently said, no, you may not do the old ones. And so I spent hours on end rewriting these two messages, and it was amazing. The messages are about Mary and Martha. And so, listen, so I told the room.
Like, is there anything new that can be gleaned about Mary and Martha?
Not.
Come on, God.
I know.
Really?
Well, and I said it to the room and I paused. And in the pause, there was this nervous laughter. I was like, I know. I heard you groan internally. I heard your internal groans. Like, there cannot be anything new, but I promise I have got new and exciting stuff that I've learned from studying these passages again. So it was just so exciting to share them. And women really responded.
Oh,
really
wonderful.
Responded. And Jesus is the centerpiece of those stories. And I tell you, I'm obsessed with Jesus right now. Obsessed, obsessed.
You know what? That sounds like a really good place to be.
It feels really like a good place to be.
Well, this is Sherry Gregory.
And I'm Amy Carroll.
And you're listening to Grit and Grace, the podcast that equips you to lose who you're not, love who you are, and live your one life well. Well, thank you for getting us caught up on what you've been doing with your retreat. And today, this episode is one in which we are going to get our friends caught up on another topic. And I thought of all sorts of ways we could stall and talk about things and then maybe just slip in at the end and say, we hope you've enjoyed this episode of Grit and Grace. But
I have a pit in my stomach.
We are just going to go ahead and say it right up front here. And so part of the purpose of this episode is to let you all know, our amazing friends who listen, that season 7, which is our upcoming season, it'll be our May, June, and July season. It will be the last official season of Grit and Grace, the podcast.
We're going on an indefinite hiatus. Those are Sherry's words and I like them. And it means...
I was going to say those are Amy's words and
what?
I like them.
Oh.
I swear you came up with
okay,
that.
Maybe so. Indefinite hiatus.
It's a phrase we like, even though we aren't really 100% sure where it came from. Okay, but we're going to go ahead and define it for you. So first of all, here's what it doesn't mean. So the first thing is, I'm not looking for a new co-host. So like Amy, when she gently let me know that the Lord was leading her in directions that did not include Grit and Grace, how's that for a really very couched way of saying it?
Throwing me under the bus one more time.
Urge me. As many times as possible, girlfriend. I don't have much time left. But I mean, one of the first things that you did say was, and I want you to start looking, you wanted to give me time to find a new co-host. And my first thought was, no, I instantly reverted to toddlerhood. No, I said I would not consider it. And then I did consider it. And every time I tried to consider it, my brain went, no, can't do it. And so the bottom line is, I personally cannot imagine Grit and Grace as anything other than Amy and Sherry. And I'm okay with that.
And it makes me sad and happy at the same time. Here are the other things we are not doing. We are not taking down any content. So all of our episodes will remain online. This is the beauty of podcasting world, right, Sherry?
Absolutely.
we will maintain the Grit and Grace website because it will continue to do 24/7 ministry. So any of those old episodes that you love or want to point friends to, you can still do that. And every single episode has its own webpage with transcript and other resources. So you can continue to go circle back, listen to ones you missed in the past, point friends to ones that you've loved, and do all those things.
Absolutely. And so we wanted to just start a little conversation today about this whole idea of deciding to quit something, because just the thought of it made me break out in hives. And I realize as Christian women, we are not taught how to quit well. In fact, if anything, I was kind of taught that being a good Christian woman means never quitting. Mm-hmm. Like that's part of that definition. And so as you and I have been processing and processing, and you know, the reason we've made it this far without me choking up at least or bawling is because that's happened in previous weeks as it's needed to happen. But it's been a really good process of realizing that ending things and quitting things might not be as horrible as we've been led to believe. So let's talk a little bit about reasons why we, and by we, I'm specifically talking to those of us who are Christian women who might still be letting go of some perfectionism or people-pleasing tendencies. What are some reasons we don't quit good things? So we're just going to kind of alternate here. Amy, give a reason.
Okay. Well, the reason I don't quit good things very often is the way it looks. So I'm getting freer, but I'm still tied to this to some degree about what will other people think. And quitting something, well, it makes you look like a quitter.
Oh.
I mean, you know. And so I think sometimes I hang in there too long past where God gives us grace, right? Because when we're doing something, let's be honest, Sherry, doing a podcast is a lot of work.
Yes,
it is a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
And we have done it for a long time. And you know what? Remember in one of our first episodes, we said that one of the measures for our success was, are we still having fun? Mm-hmm. And the thing is I'm still having fun.
I'm so glad.
Oh.
That was my number one fear. My number one fear when you told me that you were, God was calling you to move on. I was like, I knew it. I'm just not fun anymore.
No.
I'm so sad.
Oh my gosh. No, I'm still having so much fun. But I have found that the grace for the harder work parts of it is wearing thin. Do you feel that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I was sharing with another close friend, and I'm going to whisper this because I don't want to say it too loud, but there's parts of it that have become drudgery. And I'm like, oh, especially after the last 2 years. Yeah, there's enough of life that falls under that category. And it has nothing to do with our amazing listeners or amazing guests. It's just, like you said, there's parts of it that are just plain work. So, okay. So one reason for you is the way it looks.
Yes.
Give us another reason.
The way it feels.
So the outside, so the way it looks, inside.
And the way it feels. Yes. Yes. You know, I have been thinking about this and even writing about this on my blog a lot, that even good boundaries can still feel bad.
Okay. Well, please say that again.
Even good boundaries, and I mean by that God-given boundaries, can still feel bad.
That flies in the face of what I thought all my life, which was if I feel bad, I've done bad.
Oh, very good.
So you're saying good boundaries can still feel bad. Unpack that for
and
us.
I'm still
important.
Unpacking it personally. What does that mean? I think sometimes it means that God calls us to do hard things. You know, I think sometimes it means that I just haven't learned how to process boundaries in peace yet. I'm working on it. I'm getting better at it. But honestly, like the moment that my hands were shaking and my breath was short and my heart was pounding and I thought I was going to throw up was the moment I said, Sherry, I feel like God's calling me away from Grit and Grace.
Aww.
And I had this fear of disappointing you or hurting you. And also, oh gosh, now the waterworks are going to start. And just the pure sadness of the end of something so, 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 so good.
Mm.
But it's not the end of our friendship. It's not even the end of Grit and Grace because of the way podcasting world works, you know, that it goes on in perpetuity as long as you pay for it.
It's true. It's true.
At some point, Sherry may decide, I'm not paying to have it hosted anymore. But yeah, so the way it feels can be really a reason that I don't quit. How about you? What are your reasons?
Well, you know, and let me just, you know, give a share with our friends who are listening the backstory. So, you know, it was trying to remember exactly what had happened. I think you were telling me right as Daniel was leaving for the day. So I was a little distracted and it was just, I was a little off at that time. And I made the mistake then of processing and processing quietly rather than reaching out to you for too much reassurance or anything like that. And I'm like, if I could go back, I would have texted you a little more frequently to say, I'm okay. I'm just still processing. And I don't want to burden you with my immediate reactivity. And I mean, God had already prepared me for this, to be honest. You know, there was a part of me that was like, okay, I wish I had quit on her first because I hate being the one who gets quit on. So, but
wow, y'all are getting even, you're getting the raw and I'm getting the raw for the first time.
I mean, but isn't that the control thing? It's a freak thing, right? Like that's
absolutely.
And I mean, you said it in the kindest way you possibly could. We've always, I mean, you're the one who set up the breakup plan before we even got started. So there was the thing that I loved, the consistency. Like it was 100% consistent. You didn't blindside me. It wasn't out of the blue. When I looked back, there were a few hints that I had somehow failed to pick up on. But one of the ways that God had prepared me was that I had gone through and done a full audit of the finances, and we have been completely blessed. I mean, I need to talk out of two sides of my mouth. Our Patreon supporters have made things possible that we care about in terms of being able to bring on guests who didn't have the ability to pay. And our sponsored guests have been amazing. And some of the things that worked a year ago, like Compassion International and Faithful Counseling, that brought in significant income, we've not seen that income this year. And so we not only were not breaking even, but we were losing money. And I did the math about a week before you told me, and I'm like, this is not sustainable. I don't want to think about it right now. And so your timing was perfect. Your timing was absolutely perfect.
But you know what? I want to break in because, listen, I think this is important, what you just said about the money. Because one of the things that we prayed was that God would provide that as long as we were supposed to do mm-hmm. it. And mm-hmm. he did. And then when it was time to stop, he didn't.
Yes.
And I think sometimes Christians can be so Pollyanna and so like, we don't pay attention to things like that when we should, because we think it's not faithful. And that is not true. If God is not providing financially for something, that is something significant to look at, whether he might be leading you into a new season. So I just wanted to pause and say that, because I've seen Christians pour a lot of money down holes, and maybe they should have been asking God if they should stop. Anyway.
Great questions. Great questions. So my two reasons for not quitting things. Number one is familiarity. Isn't there something about the devil you know rather than the devil you don't know, or something, some kind of, and I'm not saying, you know, that's a terrible expression. I'm not saying Grit and Grace is the devil or you're the devil or anything like that. Okay. I'm going to just like edit all of this out. This is bad.
No, you're not allowed.
But there is something about, even if something isn't, it doesn't have the freshness it used to, because I kept wanting my pre-pandemic self to show back up on Grit and Grace. And so I kind of wanted to go back to that version of me. And so many other things had changed in the last 2 years. I was hanging on to Grit and Grace. I didn't want one more good, stable, positive, predictable thing to change. And in fact, at the same time I was doing the finances, I was saying to myself, Grit and Grace is the one good thing in my life, the one good thing I can count on. And a week later, you were like, yeah, you can't count on it anymore. Mm. And that was okay. Like these were not in opposition. It was like, it's the one thing I can count on, and God. So this is the next one, scarcity mindset for me, is this feeling like I don't have enough in other areas. And so especially during the pandemic, I couldn't see my friends. Obviously money became a huge issue for many of us. And so my perception of having had things taken away from me in other areas, or not having the things I needed in other areas, it makes it that I want to hang on to the things I do have to make up for the things I don't have. And these are like in unrelated areas. Like I don't have a mother anymore, so I need to hold on to Grit and Grace. Like that doesn't make any sense. But that's, you know, our brains will do these things. And even as I'm saying this out loud, can I just say how much I hate that all of this sounds like a victim mindset, like poor me, poor Sherry needs to hang on to what she has. But I just want to, you know, I just want to put it out there.
It doesn't sound like that, Sherry. You're just expressing what so many of us feel.
For you, the way it looks, you don't want to be perceived to be a quitter. And the way it feels, even good boundaries can feel bad. And for me, familiarity, hanging on to something I know, and scarcity. I feel like it makes up for the areas in which I don't have what I want or what I need. All right. Let's talk about reasons why it's okay to quit good things.
All right. Well, and one of them in my life is to create more margin. And I think all of us can use this, but some of us particularly need this. This is probably, I just thought of this. This is probably where my borderline HSP comes in, is the way I am wired demands margin. It's not optional. Now, I can give it up for short periods of time. But last week, it was so funny because I was talking, you know, at the beginning when I was talking about rewriting these messages, and you and my friend Wendy were two people that were like, oh my gosh, we can hear the stress in your voice. And you made the observation, you don't have any margin right now, do you? And I was like, I don't. And you said, I know how important that is to you. And I was like, oh yeah, it is. You know, sometimes you have to have that outside person that knows you so well, like a sister, to say, hey, this is the problem. Cause I didn't even have enough margin to think about not having any margin.
That's a lack of margin.
Yes. And I do, and I don't know if it's age or just stage of life or whatever, but I do have this longing to slow down. I'm working so much that when I walk out my yard, I look at my flowers with longing, but I don't have any time to do anything to them. So I believe that part of the gift in the pain of this will be that I have some increased margin. How about you? Name what you name. Oh, you want me to go ahead and do both?
Yeah, go ahead and do yours. Yours are nice and parallel and mine are kind of chaotic. So I want you to do yours back to back because you crafted them so well.
Well, and to create more focus, and this is very interrelated to the last one. Again, it probably is part of my borderline HSP wiring that I don't spin lots of plates at the same time really well, but I've been doing it for a long, long time. And I think God has given me grace to do that. I mean, over the years, I have said, God, is there something, one of these plates I need to sit down? And I have felt a no, but honestly, all of that works against my wiring. I do better with, it's not, I don't want to work less hours. I want to be more focused on fewer things because I love the work that I do. But so I feel like God is giving this to me. He's giving us something, Sherry, by taking something else away. And that is such, that's one of those dichotomies that does not feel good initially, but I think will be great for both of us in the long term.
Absolutely. Well, and what you're describing with more focus is for the HSPs who are listening, this is one of the things I'm learning from all the coaching I'm doing with HSPs is we do so much better with a very, very narrow focus, with things being small.
Yes.
And go big or go home. A lot of us HSPs, go home is what works for us. And I don't mean that literally. I just mean that we have a home base of what we're good at or what God has called us to focus on. And when we try to spread ourselves too thin or do all the things, that's when we can get in trouble. So one reason why it's okay to quit good things is, you know, there's the cliche to make room for the new things God has for us that are new and supposedly better. And then I just want to gag. But our friend Lori Margot, she has a quote, and I'm trying to remember who it is. I'll put it in the show notes. I'll find it. But she likes to pray, God, give me this or something better.
Wow.
And there's something just so beautiful about that prayer. Like, this is the best I can imagine. And I trust you enough to know that if there's something better, that's what I actually want, even though I can't think of it. So all sarcasm aside, Lord, give me this, whatever it is, or something better. And so, you know, this has really brought me to the stage of what is the something better? I don't know what it is because Grit and Grace has been so good. And, you know, and we'll get to that in a moment, but that is part of the beauty of this. You know, as I was kind of going through the grief process of, okay, this is it. We're making this decision and there will not be an episode saying, guess what? Grit and Grace 3.0 is actually going to happen.
Right. Like, that's not on,
yep. That's not an option where there's not even the slightest possibility of a bait and switch here. But the more I thought about, like you said, the end of an era, the more I found myself giggling through my tears, like, oh my gosh, I remember the first few episodes and oh my goodness, I remember that interview and oh my, like, it has been so good.
It's so good.
And, you know, I have, you know, as an HSP, so many of my memories are not good because I spent so much of my childhood and young adulthood just trying to survive sensory overload without knowing I was trying to survive sensory overload. My memories of Grit and Grace are just good. Like, yeah, okay, there's been a few glitches along the way, but they're not about you and me.
We won't name them.
No, we won't. We might dish on them in our last episode a little tiny bit, but hey, they're not about our listeners. They're not about you and me. It has been a wonderful ride. And to be able to just sit and go, it has been an amazing ride, and just celebrate that. You know, my word for the year is celebrate. And I realized that's 99.9% of what's going on in my brain.
Yes.
And so
me too.
If Grit and Grace has been this good, then whatever God has that's something better, oh my goodness, I definitely want there to be room for that, even though I can't imagine what it is. And then my other reason why it's okay to quit good things, Amy, other people do it all the time.
They do. How do they get to do that?
I don't know. And they do it loud and proud, and they are admired for it, and they're given going away parties, and they are not necessarily publicly shamed for it or anything. Like, it's a normal thing that normal people do.
You're Tom Brady. And then, then you unretire after somebody bought your last football for $500,000.
I read that. Wow. Amy, I hate to break it to you. I don't think there's any chance of that happening with either of us.
You don't think we should Grit and Grace memorabilia up
and see how well it sells on eBay? Yeah, I don't think so. But okay, so for our friends who are listening, here is the irony. Okay, are you ready for this? It's just cracking up my whole face, to quote Amy. It's a huge irony. Ever since we made this decision, the podcast episode downloads have gone through the roof.
It's like crazy.
We have been having record-breaking weeks and months. And Amy, you don't know this, but we are currently on track for truly the biggest month we have ever had in the history of Grit and Grace.
It's
insane. At this moment, I'm positive it's going to happen, like positive. And neither of us have any need to watch the numbers anymore, but it's just going kind of nuts. And so you had some huge wisdom that you shared with me even before we were having these conversations. I think you shared this with me like a year or so ago. So share it with our friends who are listening.
Well, Sherry isn't the only partner I'm breaking up with. Sounds so terrible.
Wow.
No, because our partnership is ending, but our friendship never will. And that's true of my other partner as well. But I had another partnership, a coaching partnership with my dear friend, Melanie Chitwood. And I was starting to feel that was coming to an end. And again, streamlining, you know, making things simpler, bringing more focus and margin. But I couldn't stand it, you know, as I was thinking about the ends of these things. And so I met with a friend of mine that's a business coach. And I said, I need some advice. And I just don't know how to handle this because both these things are so good. And here was the question she asked me that just took my breath away, stopped me in my tracks. She said, do you have to wait until it's bad to end it?
So amazing.
And it was like every light bulb left in my head. There are only a few. They went off. And I was like, oh, like, is that what I'm waiting for? Because I don't want that. And that was the moment that I was like, no, it is better to end it while it's so, so good. If that's what God's calling you to, you don't end it just because it's so, so good, but you don't wait till it's bad either. And in my relationship with you and my relationship with Melanie were so much more important than a podcast or coaching that I was like, oh my gosh, I can't wait until it's bad to end it. I won't wait until it's bad to end it.
That is so brilliant. And it makes me wonder how many times in the past have I not been able to be honest and say I wanted or needed to end something. And so I've sabotaged it.
Ooh.
So I've made it go from good to bad. And so thank you, Amy Carroll, for being candid and honest and telling me what you needed and what you felt God calling you to do while things were still good so that we can end well. And so that is going to be the topic. Now we have amazing interviews all lined up. A lot of them have already, almost all of them have already been recorded. for a season 7. We'll be doing a few convos. And Amy, I don't know about you, but I feel like our convos ever since we made this decision have been just, I don't know, they've blown off the roof or the knocked off our socks or blown out the doors or something. They have been amazing. And so I am looking forward to the ones we'll be doing for season 7. But for our very last episode, which we're kind of tentatively, our working title for it is Ending Well. That's going to be our topic. And so any questions that you have for us for our final episode, which will be sometime in the mid to end of July, we would love to hear about the topic of ending well. What questions do you have about ending well?
And you can email those to us through the contact at gritandgracethepodcast.com or at our Facebook page. And they can be specific to our decision to wrap up Grit and Grace, or they can be about ending well in areas of your life.
Yes, because we are experts on all of this. So we will just answer everybody's question. No, we just love to have a great discussion in that final episode about what it means to end well in a variety of areas. So friends, we hope you've enjoyed listening to Grit and Grace, the podcast, episode 258, as much as we've enjoyed making it for you. And we've made it thus far without too many tears.
Yes, we have. Be sure to check out this episode's webpage at gritandgracethepodcast.com/episode258.
There you'll find this week's transcript, a link to a Google form where you can submit any questions you'd like us to tackle about ending well, and a link to our Facebook group, and you can share your questions with us there as well.
This episode wraps up season 6, and we're going to take a month-long break to allow us to get all ready for season 7.
And allow for someone to go to France. Just saying.
Oh, may we?
For today, grow your grit.
Embrace God's grace.
And as God reveals the next step to live your one life well,
we'll be cheering you on. So take it.